So I will now call this regular session of council to order this day, Tuesday, July 7th, 2026. Roll call, please.
Cody Browning.
Here.
Doug McCauley.
Here.
Greg McMaster.
Here.
Carrie Meek.
Here.
Chris Shea.
Here.
Okay. Right. Please stand and join me in the Lord's Prayer. Remain standing for the pledge. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, good evening all. We'll move on to approval of council minutes from the regular session, June 16th. Any comments or corrections? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
None for me.
Mr. Shea?
No, sir.
None for myself. All right, may I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Browning, second by Mr. Shea. Roll call.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
The minutes are approved as presented. Any pending old business? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
No, sir.
None for myself. Anyone else? Correspondence this evening?
We have none.
All right. Visitors this evening. We have with us Mr. James Posey, Sandusky County Public Health. Mr. Posey, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Get some of these things laid out here. And then I have some papers for you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Maybe I should just look up on that correspondence.
Thank you.
Thank you. I need to move this, but I feel like I'm taller than that. All right. So thank you for the opportunity of speaking tonight in regards to your proposed DORA. My comments are not meant to oppose the idea of a DORA altogether, but to encourage thoughtful planning before a permanent district is established. As someone who works in public health, I also rely on community health assessments to help guide community decisions. Those are two items that I just handed you all. The assessment shows that while alcohol use and binge drinking have improved over the time, they remain a public health concern in Sandusky County. That doesn't mean we should not have a DORA, as it means we should take time to ensure that implementation is responsible and intentional. Some of the concerns that I have are around the boundary design. It appears much larger than necessary for four participating establishments. It includes some residential property, parking lots, vacant areas, and portions of the North Coast Inland Trail. So I would just like to have some understanding of the planning criteria used to establish those boundaries. Was the DORA designed around a walkable downtown district, or was it primarily just to connect those four establishments? Would a smaller downtown core DORA better accomplish the city's goals? There's concerns with enforcement through the North Coast Inland Trail. While that does run through the city, the enforcement on that property specifically is through the Parks District of Sandusky County. So I've just had a question about enforcement there. And how will trail users know when they are entering or leaving that DORA? Talking about Railroad Street, Through some previous work that I've done with the City of Clyde, I know there was some discussion of having that space be focused on a pedestrian area. If that remains the long-term vision of the city, would it make more sense to implement those changes first before implementing a DORA? And then if the DORA moves forward, I encourage the city to require or strongly encourage responsible beverage service or seller-server training for all participating establishments, and then has the city developed an implementation plan that includes public education, enforcement, evaluation measures, and a process to review that DORA after the first year. So I appreciate the work that has gone into the proposal. My request is just that the city apply the same thoughtful, data-informed planning process here that it would use for any other policy affecting public health and safety. I hope the council will consider refining some boundaries, incorporating seller-server training, and ensuring that there's a clear plan of implementation and evaluation before adopting a permanent DORA. And then just to focus on what I handed you guys, those are two different areas of our community health assessment talking about health behaviors regarding alcohol use. And the two areas that I want you to focus on for the adults, that would be the orangish page. The question was, of those who have drank in the past 30 days, considering all types of alcoholic beverages, did you have four or more drinks for women and five or more drinks for men on one occasion during the last 30 days? The male respondents, 13% of those said yes, while 21% of the women responded yes. To us at the health department, that is a little bit concerning because binge drinking can be very risky. And then looking over in the blue paper that I handed you is the youth data. And that top portion there, that question is, among those who have ever consumed alcohol, how old were you when you first had your first drink of alcohol other than a few sips? That first answer is 8 years old or younger. 18% of, oh, sorry. I thought it was the same scale there. The dark blue represents Sandusky County there, and that's 14.8%, where the state is at 18. So we are lower than the state of Ohio on that, but that number for Sandusky County has been growing. And on my way here, I thought of another concern that we have been facing in Fremont, that it is legal for a parent to hand over an alcoholic beverage to their child in a restaurant as long as it is served to the parent first. I have some concerns on if that happens with the DORA, because also with the youth data, it shows that the number one way that they get their alcohol is from their parent. So I know I threw a lot at you guys there in probably like 2 or 3 minutes. I'm sure you guys will have some questions.
I can start. You had an enforcement question. That would kind of be in my area to answer. So enforcement-wise, I mean, right now, if I have a bad day and decide to beat up someone riding their bike on the North Coast Trail, like, I still get a ticket from the Clyde Police. So even though enforcement, there are some jurisdictional issues with what the parks can do, that's not, my understanding of it is it's not exclusionary to the Clyde Police. They're still bound by our geographic boundaries and some other things where you can hop from boundary to boundary and stay in your jurisdiction. But it just means that the parks officers, the Parks Department, can also write tickets. So enforcement-wise, in theory, I suppose, a Parks Department officer, if a peace officer in the state of Ohio, could come in and write a DORA ticket on the bike trail if someone was misusing the DORA somehow, like not following the container requirements. But we won't have any issues with enforcement from our standpoint because it's still geographically within our boundaries. So I'm not worried about that.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yep.
Yeah, that answered the question that I had. But that parents in Ohio can hand their child an alcoholic beverage, whether it's in a restaurant or whether it's on their own property or in some other legal establishment. So if they can do it there, they can do it in a DORA. I don't know how responsible they are by doing that, but I don't know that we are responsible for parenting. So
think of like a scenario like you guys just had your fireworks, and I'll admit, I don't know where you guys put those off at. I don't know if it's close to downtown, but if they're with their family for a portion of that, and they get handed that drink with their parent, which is completely legal, but they also have to stay within a certain, like an arm's length. It's something that you can't really measure, but it says like an arm's length away. If they decide, oh, hey, there's my friends, and they just go there, then that parent is not being responsible, and that could rise some issues.
Can you cite any issues of that happening with your own experience and witnessing it? Or
no, that is just a concern that we've been made aware of.
I think one of the in the legislation we have in front of us answers one of your questions about the serve safe and stuff like that, that those participating in the DORA would be required to have that certification for all those working there.
And another question that you had or a concern is an evaluation of how it is working. And in this legislation is an evaluation process, I think, after 1 year, am I correct? Okay.
1 and then the 5 year.
Okay. I mean, when we pass something like this or not pass something like this, whether it's presented to us, we want to know that there's an evaluation process and, you know, how can we manage it? How can it be managed? So I appreciate your concerns with it.
Okay.
Council, anyone else? Any questions? Is there anything else?
I don't believe so.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other visitors this evening wish to address council? All right, moving on. We have no ordinance this evening, no first or second reading, so we'll move on to some rather lengthy resolutions. So would you please assign a number and give the reading of the first resolution?
Resolution number 2026-51. City of Clyde, Ohio, establishing the Clyde Downtown Designated Outdoor Refreshment Area, DORA, pursuant to Ohio Revised Code 4301.82 and adopting public health and safety requirements. Whereas Ohio Revised Code 4301.82 authorizes the legislative authority of a municipal corporation to establish a designated outdoor refreshment area, DORA, upon proper application and public notice. And whereas the City of Clyde has a population of approximately 6,300 persons as reflected by the most recent regular federal decennial census and is therefore a municipal corporation with a population of 50,000 or less eligible to establish up to 3 DORAs not exceeding 320 contiguous acres each, requiring a minimum of 2 qualified permit holders per ORC 4301.82D. And whereas the city manager has filed an application with this council to establish the Clyde Downtown Designated Outdoor Refreshment Area, and whereas notice of the application has been published in a newspaper of general circulation in the city of Clyde, as required by ORC 4301.82C, and the notice stated that the application was on file in the office of the city clerk and available for public inspection, and whereas city council held a public hearing on the application on May 19, 2026, and whereas city council finds that the application meets all requirements of ORC 4301.82, that the proposed DORA encompasses areas within the Central Business District, C1, and Residential Office, RO, zoning classifications consistent with the city's master zoning plan, that at least 2 qualified permit holders are located within the proposed area, and whereas City Council finds it necessary to adopt this resolution to facilitate the timely establishment of the DORA and the promotion of economic development during America's 250th celebration. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Council of City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1. This council hereby approves and accepts the application for a DORA submitted by the city manager and that a designated outdoor refreshment area to be known as the Clyde Downtown Designated Outdoor Refreshment Area, the Clyde Downtown DORA, is hereby created in accordance with Ohio Revised Code 4301.82. Section 2, the specific boundaries of the Clyde Downtown DORA are attached hereto and incorporated herein as Exhibit A. The door encompasses areas within the Central Business District C1 and the Residential Office RO Zoning District of the City of Clyde. The official boundary map on file with the City Manager's Office is controlling. Section 3, the Clyde Downtown Door shall be active year-round during the following hours. Monday through Saturday, 12 p.m., noon to 10 p.m. Outside of the active hours listed above, the open container exemption does not apply and ORC 4301.62 governs. City Council may, by resolution adopted not less than 72 hours prior to the event, authorize expanded DORA hours for designated civic events or community celebrations within the DORA boundaries, provided that such expanded hours do not exceed the limitations imposed by individual permit holders' liquor licenses. Section 4, a detailed public health and safety plan is set forth in Exhibit B and is incorporated herein by reference. Section 5, the following establishments hold qualifying liquor permits and are located within the Clyde Downtown DORA boundaries. Each such establishment is eligible to apply to the Ohio Division of Liquor Control for a DORA designation upon approval of this resolution. Alley in Clyde, LLC at 117 West Buckeye Street, permit type D5. Blue Collar Bistro, LLC, 111 North Main Street, permit types D2, D2X, D3, D3A. Town Tavern, 105 North Main Street, permit type D5. Loom Lodge, 0393 Clyde, 134 Eaton Ave, D4, D6. Holders of F-Class permits sponsoring events within the Clyde Downtown DORA may apply to the Ohio Division of Liquor Control for a DORA designation for those events subject to ORC 4301.82G. Section 6, each qualified permit holder within the Clyde Downtown DORA shall remain subject to Ohio Revised Code 4399.18 in the same manner as if the permit holder were not located in a designated outdoor refreshment area as required by ORC 4301.82H.
All right, you've heard the reading of Resolution 2026-51. Comments? Start with Mr. LeBen.
You know, hopefully it's pretty standard stuff. We've seen a bunch of them all around. I'm sure we've all attended them at times, whether you know it or not. The health and safety plan is required, is hopefully detailed enough, including anything from the tips and serve safe type training required to be a participating establishment. As always, we'll be on top of all that, requiring, what, annual recertification, stopping in from time to time, making sure bartenders haven't changed, things that we would normally do anyway just to make sure things are running right. But, again, even in drawing up the boundaries, I think there was 4 residential properties that would be involved in the boundaries, one of which is actually gone. It just still shows up on the map. It's where we're going to put our parking lot, 2 of which... Travis Brown and then the one neighbor's on the corner there. And then the other house that we actually own. Other than that, it's comprehensively and talked to all the other businesses down there. Even spoke to Mr. Wilson about extending those boundaries for things and events that he might have at Edward Jones. He wanted to be included. Carving out that side of the road and then jogging across the street to make sure the museum is included because they hold many events. And we've already know of some closed container type things that happen down there for people in their 70s and 80s that, you know, keep it together and act right anyway. So
why are you looking at me when you say that?
I was actually looking at Mr. McMaster. I'm sorry. I actually can't tell the difference between the two of you sometimes. You have your hat on, I get lost. I'm kidding, Greg. Much more handsome. So, again, no issues that I've seen. I mean, we've had time. Again, health department has good prevention and educational programs. You can see by the stats provided, drinking as a whole is down. And all trends, a recent article from Food & Wine magazine even said that moderation is the new hip thing. So trends are down, and day cap drinking, expecting to go to a restaurant, seems to be more popular than binge drinking. So I think we're on our way to a good trend here, and I thank Mr. Posey for coming and providing stats that show that as well.
Thank you. This is me.
I have no comment. I've mentioned before I'm in favor of it. I've seen it several places, and it runs very well.
Mr. Browning.
No comment.
Mr. McMaster.
I have nothing to add.
Mr. Shea.
I've spoke with quite a few business owners in town. They're in favor of it. They're excited about it. They feel that also would improve their business, foot traffic. I've also spoke with individuals of law enforcement from surrounding areas that have a DORA, and none of them could tell me of any significant rise in alcohol-related crime or instances other than what we typically see in any given city. So I, unless I'm presented with some other fact to the contrary, I don't see a DORA greatly influencing the crime or substance abuse statistics. I'm in favor of it. Thank you.
Like Mr. Shea, I knew this issue was coming up some time ago, and then once it we were confronted with it, I spent a lot of time talking with other individuals, our police chief, our police officers, other communities that my wife and I visit. We love to go to small towns. The only way I knew there was a door is when I saw a sign. It wasn't the behavior that brought it to my attention. It was the sign. And then talking to officials from those communities and everything, all the misconceptions that I had about it were answered. They don't experience problems with it. So I'm not saying that they don't exist, but I don't take it lightly. I've got as much research and questions and answers as I possibly could for it. So comments by anyone else? All right. That concludes that part of it. Then may I have a motion to adopt resolution 2026-51.
So moved.
A second.
Moved by Mr. Shea, second by Mr. McMaster. Roll call.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye. Resolution 2026-51 has been adopted. Next resolution, please.
Resolution number 2026-52, authorizing the city manager to enter to an agreement with Dam Schroeder Roofing Incorporated for a new PVC roof system for the water treatment plant. Be resolved by the Council of City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1. The city manager is hereby authorized and directed to enter into an agreement with Dam Schroeder Roofing Incorporated for a new PVC replacement roof system for the water treatment plant for $275,746.42, as per the attached quote. Section 2, it is hereby determined that this contract shall be entered into notwithstanding the provisions of Section 133.01A and 133.01B of the Clyde Code of Ordinances or Chapter 735 of the Ohio Revised Code relative to advertising and bidding requirements for public contracts. It is further determined that said purchase and delivery will be completed through the TIPS Cooperative Purchasing Program, contract number 26010402. Section 3, that the expenditure of funds be in the same is hereby appropriated and authorized to be expended from the water fund.
All right, you've heard the reading of Resolution 2026-52. Mr. LeBen, comments?
This was a budget item that we talked about last year. I believe the original, even what we budgeted for, was much higher, but we kind of knew that was a real high-level estimate. So as it got into the bidding and competition for it, it got to a more normalized price. It is an extremely large roof. So Dam Schroeder appeared to be the best one, so we're going with.
Okay, thank you. Mrs. Meek?
I have nothing.
Mr. Browning?
Nothing.
Mr. McMaster?
No, sir.
Mr. Shea?
I have nothing.
If I recall, it was a $300,000 estimate when we budgeted last fall for this, so we're under that. So, okay. Any comments from anyone? May I have a motion to adopt resolution 2026-52?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Browning, second by Mrs. Meek. Roll call.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Resolution 2026-52 has been adopted. Next resolution.
Resolution number 2026-53. Authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement for preliminary and detailed design plans with Manick Smith Group for the North Coast Inland Trail Connector Pedestrian Improvement Project. Be resolved by the Council of the City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1. that the city manager is hereby authorized to enter into an agreement with Manick Smith Group, MSG, to prepare design plans to improve pedestrian facilities to extend the North Coast Inland Trail from Maple Street to Main Street as per the attached agreement. Section 2, the expenditure of funds for such services is in the amount of $99,381 is hereby expressly authorized and shall be taken from the Permanent Improvement Fund. Section 3, that inasmuch as the services to be performed are of a professional nature, any bidding requirements imposed by law are hereby waived. Section 4, the city manager is further authorized to execute any change and or additional work orders by agreed upon pricing by the City of Clyde and MSG.
Right, comments on this resolution, Mr. LeBen.
It's been talked about for a little while. This is going out for the actual design. As the North Coast Inland Trail on the Main Street side just dumps you right on into Main Street, and there's no real definitive, are you supposed to get into the brick, which really isn't the bike trail, technically, or the road. And then as you obviously come the other way, you kind of get dumped from right onto Maple Street with no great way to hook to the trail. So that is essentially a gap that we've been working on fixing. So this will be putting the trail actually right next to the brick path, essentially. A bunch of stuff's going to get moved. Part of our downtown renovation plan, this is kind of factoring into how some of that's going to look. And again, getting more pedestrian enhancements on each end, just more safety, and here's where you're actually going to go. So some signalization, things like that, kind of similar to what you've seen out by Miller's now with that pedestrian signage and things to just let people cross. So good improvement. This is the design work for it.
Mrs. Meek?
I have nothing. I'm glad to see it coming because it is kind of dangerous when you're crossing through there.
Mr. Browning?
I have nothing.
Mr. McMaster?
Is their scope going to take into account things we've already talked about with possibly closing off railroad?
No,
that's
something a little different project. This is a grant.
Is this something that's going to then be changed?
No. We're factoring this into what the whole overall plan will be. But yeah, and we're actually trying to time it so it all kind of comes at the same time.
Okay, thank you.
So yes, we're not going to be stepping on ourselves.
Mr. Shea.
I have nothing.
Grant money in this total, there is, do you know the amount?
I'd have to look up what the grant, I'm not sure Pfizer, if it had it in this report. This is reimbursable on it. Is it three?
$50,000 comes to mind.
I thought it was more than that. I think the whole grant, the whole improvements, I want to say this is a $275,000 grant in total. Because it covered the work, it's ODOT, so again, it's got a lot of scoping and time to it and things, but I want to think that was a $275,000 award.
Okay.
And a lot of this would be like our matching portion of that, so to speak. Like we do design, they do the rest.
Very good. Any comments from anyone? May I have a motion then to adopt Resolution 2026-53?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mrs. Meek, second by Mr. Shea. Roll call.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Resolution 2026-53 has been adopted. Next resolution, please.
Resolution number 2026-54. Submitting proposed charter amendments to the electorate at the general election to be held on November 3, 2026, and directing the Board of Elections to place the proposed amendments on the ballot. Whereas this council appointed members to serve on the Charter Review Commission through Resolution 2026-32, and whereas the Charter Review Commission met on May 20, 2026 and June 17, 2026, and has submitted proposed amendments to the charter of this council, now therefore be it resolved by the Council of City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1, that the Council of the City of Clyde, Ohio does hereby resolve to place before the electorate of the City of Clyde, Ohio the proposed amendments to the Charter amendments as recommended by the Charter Review Commission, which are attached hereto as Exhibit A and incorporated herein, be submitted to the electorate of the City of Clyde, Ohio at the general election, to be held on November 3, 2026. Section 2, that the Board of Elections of Sandusky County, Ohio be and is hereby authorized and directed to place said amendments upon the ballot for the November 3, 2026 general election in accordance with law and to conduct the election upon said issue. Section 3, the city manager is hereby authorized and directed to file a copy of the amendments, proposed ballot language, and a certified copy of this resolution with the Board of Elections of Sandusky County, Ohio, at least 90 days prior to said election, and to further take whatever procedural steps may be required to ensure that said amendments be placed before the electorate of the City of Clyde, Ohio, on said election.
Comments on this resolution?
We met twice. Thank you, Gary, for being on it again. Lots of good feedback things. Obviously, it's a lot to go through. Not terrible. This was the first step of just getting most of it organized and maybe more appropriate sections for things. So there is some consolidation, strike-throughs in one little section for a sentence and moving it all into its own, because the salaries were all over the place, some through legislation, some through motion of council, some in the charter. It was just all over. So, again, all the recommendations we vetted thoroughly. Again, we also came in with some of the suggestions we've seen over the years, so it hopefully sped up the process for everybody, but good feedback. I mean, everything was debated. If you have questions, we can answer them on why certain things were chosen the way they were. Again, just to make sure, be respectful to the voters. There was some debate on should we just let the salaries go right now, get everything straightened out, but it's, all right, you know, economic times as they are, we're like, this council is not just desiring, they're not here for the money, so put it out to when everybody gets reelected, it'll take effect. There's some argument to us being charter that the voters basically say you could get it, you know, as is, but we tossed that topic around and we're like, let's just do it this way for that reason, just to make sure that for sure that's not the reason why we're trying to fix these things. Putting in there things like no override through council legislation can never override their salaries. Again, just a lot of things to kind of lock it and make sure that everybody knows this is above board. It's not a interim raise, not asking for more money for this reason. It's basically for the future. Cleaning up a lot of the newspaper stuff that's just antiquated and costs a ton of money that no one's looking at and isn't published in any local paper anyone even sees. Remote meetings, and then a lot of just little cleanup and consolidation work. So any questions through it, we can go through it, and I'll just put it all over to Gary. But I'm kidding, Gary. I wouldn't do that. I'm just kidding. But he was there.
I'll add for those listening at home, Justin touched on it. So there's a law in Ohio that if people vote to give themselves a raise, you can't actually take the raise until you then get elected again, because the logic is it gives the voters a chance to vote you out for paying yourself too much. Since we're charter and we've been down the rabbit hole, I've done more research for the city into council salaries than maybe any other topic because it was such a unique legal question. Actually, I've talked to the AG's office about it. This clarifies a few things. Number one, it clarifies the salary. Number two, we put in there delayed implementation. So it's a done deal. It's off the table. The reason I say this is for the listening audience at home is if you, number one, the voters get to decide what council makes. Number two, the council that sits here before me will not make this new amount until they're voted back in, which does mean we'll have staggered salaries for a while because you guys aren't all elected at the same time. You could sit up here and be making different amounts. So just to be clear with everyone, if you don't like it, vote them out.
All said, Counselor.
Any other comments, Mrs. Meek?
One just good one is I'm glad we had a long weekend for all of these resolutions because they're big ones to read. But I totally agree with the charter, and I'm thankful for the review commission that spent the time to do all these changes. And I am 100% for, you know, prorating that the salaries for council, because I totally agree that no one should get it while they're interim. So I think they did a great job with all of these changes.
Mr. Browning.
Everything that Mrs. Meek said, I echo.
Mr. McMaster.
Yeah, I'm thankful that we do the reviews and we have residents that help with that, because it has to be somewhat of a living document. It can't remain the same all the time. So I'm glad it's being looked at and that changes are made when they need to be.
Mr. Shea.
I just appreciate the work that the committee did meeting and making these changes. Appreciate the work they did. That's all I have.
Again, thank you to all the committee members for taking your time, reviewing this, discussing it, and making changes based on recommendation or even of your own to make them relevant for today's governmental environment. And one area that was addressed is the civil service, which has just been a hindrance in hiring qualified people. It has served its purpose in the past. I think it's outdated, and I'm glad that that was addressed. And again, the monetary issues with council members and mayor has been addressed, and that way it's above board. It's not under the table. So appreciate everybody's efforts on this, and what do we have, a revision whenever, in the next 5 years or so. But government changes, needs change, times change, and documents need to change. So any comments from anyone else? All right, may I have a motion to adopt Resolution 2026-54?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. McMaster, second by Mrs. Meek. Roll call.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Resolution 2026-54 has been adopted. Next resolution, please.
Resolution number 2026-55, submitting the renewal of a 1.5% income tax to the electorate at the general election to be held on November 3rd, 2026, and directing the Board of Elections to place the proposed amendments on the ballot. Be resolved by the Council of the City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1, that the Council of the City of Clyde, Ohio, does hereby resolve to place before the electorate of the City of Clyde, Ohio, upon the general election to be held November 3rd, 2026, the issue of whether the City of Clyde shall renew a 1.5% income tax provided for in this resolution and in any ordinances, resolutions, and rules and regulation promulgated pursuant thereto in substantial form, as the said proposed renewal ordinance being attached hereto and incorporated herein as if fully rewritten herein, provided that the ordinance to be adopted shall reflect that said levy shall be effective from January 1st, 2027 through December 31st, 2031. The tax is an annual tax levied on the income of every person residing in or earning or receiving income in the City of Clyde, and that the tax shall be measured by municipal taxable income. The City of Clyde is levying the tax in accordance with the limitations specified in Ohio Revised Code 718.04, and this resolution hereby incorporates the provisions of Ohio Revised Code 718.04. No credits, as described in Section D of Ohio Revised Code 718.04, will be issued by the City of Clyde unless specified in the attached tax code. This tax will be levied to fund general operations, maintenance, new equipment, extension, and enlargement of municipal services and facilities, and capital improvements of the City of Clyde. Section 2, that the Board of Elections of Sandusky County, Ohio, be and is hereby authorized and directed to place said income tax issue upon the ballot for the November 3rd, 2026 general election in accordance with law and to conduct the election upon said issue. Section 3, that the city manager is hereby authorized and directed to file a copy of the proposed renewal ordinance, proposed ballot language, and a certified copy of this resolution with the Board of Elections of Sandusky County, Ohio, at least 90 days prior to said election, and to further take whatever procedural steps may be required to ensure that said income tax issue be placed before the electorate of the City of Clyde, Ohio, on said election.
Okay, you've heard a reading of this resolution. Comments?
So we did pass this even before because we were going to put it on the special election. Chose to kind of consolidate everything here, so we've read it before. It's the same thing. If you want me to read the whole ordinance, we can go through it or anything. I mean,
we'll
probably save you the time on that, but that is why. So we actually did pass this before and then just kind of chose we'll just throw it in November and have all the charter stuff and the income tax as well and get our grade card after the vote.
Frank, I want to ask you a question, and I ask this every time this comes up. What percentage of our income tax comes from people who work in the City of Clyde but don't reside here? Ballpark.
All right, 65 approximately, according to Mr. LeBeck.
So when the schools got built all over the state of Ohio, the benefit of that is they would come to the taxpayers and say, for every dollar you spend, the state's spending, I don't know if it's a dollar or whatever it is, right? But when citizens of the City of Clyde, I do not reside in the City of Clyde, vote to tax themselves this 1.5%, every dollar they're collecting a $1.10 that essentially gets matched by non-voters. So it's very important to how we operate, and we're in a unique situation where that math should be known by those who are pulling the ballot and voting on it.
Earned income.
Only an earned income.
All right.
Yes.
Not retired income.
Correct.
Earned income only.
This is earned income only.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, then? Mm-hmm. Can you yes, then?
Yeah. I'm in that minority now. So, just a clarification. Mrs. Meek, comment.
No, I said it before when we voted for it. To be able to keep it at 1.5%, I think that's something that we're to be proud of, because you're seeing twos, even 2.5s across the state right now. So to be able to maintain that 1.5, that's a great strength for the city. And the other thing that I just wanted to point out, even though it reads that we won't give restitution, we do give restitution. We have that in the laws that we do still give the restitution. So, again, I think it's great.
Mr. Browning.
No comment.
Mr. McMaster. As tough as times may be, I do hope that it does pass. That 1.5% is very crucial to building and maintaining our city and all the services and what we have to offer and what we have to offer in the future. So, just my two cents.
Oh, nobody likes taxes, but this is a renewal tax. I just want to remind people listening to this later on, it's a renewal tax. It's been on for quite a long time. And I want to quote something from the second page. The purpose of the tax includes general municipal operations, street lighting, equipment maintenance, and purchase, extension, and enlargement of municipal services and facilities, and capital improvements. Meaning that this is necessities. This is essential operations for this city. And without this tax, you're not going to get those services, or you're at least going to get a very small fraction of those services. So it is highly important, and it is a renewal. I just want to remind people that. That's all I have, Mayor. Thank you.
What I've learned in 4.5 years about municipal finance, things I had absolutely no idea with, and sitting with Frank quite often and Justin, and I'm proud of our stewardship of our dollars, not foolishly spent. Yeah, they may be questioned, but if you have a question, I hope you're willing to hear an answer for why the money is used the way that it is. So it's managing it very, very well. And the services that we provide with the money that's coming in are exceptional. So, any comments from anyone else? May I have a motion then to adopt Resolution 2026-55?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Shea, second by Mr. McMaster. Roll call.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Resolution 2026-55 has been adopted. Next resolution, please.
Resolution number 2026-56, making certain supplemental appropriations, interfund transfers, and intrafund transfers to appropriations during the fiscal year of 2026. Be resolved by the Council of the City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1, it is hereby determined to make supplemental appropriations, interfund transfers, and intrafund transfers to appropriations as set forth in the attached tables, and they are hereby expressly authorized.
Okay. Comments on this resolution, Mr. Levin.
All right. With this, not to rehash what we've been through recently, but we have got a lot of clarifications, a lot of fixes, if you will, to the funds. From the fund that we're taking it from, of course, those are reserved for occasions like this. Once we got things cleared up, this is where we came to really for clearing up a lot of what happened last year. So this is delayed more than it normally would be, but this brings us into balance, and I am asking for these transfers.
Comments, Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
No, sir.
None for myself. Anyone? May I have a motion to adopt Resolution 2026-56?
So moved.
I'll second. Moved by Mr. McMaster, second by myself. Roll call.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye. Resolution 2026-56 has been adopted. That's it for legislation this evening, so let's move on to administrative report. Mr. LeBen.
All right, I haven't been here in a month, so I've got, I'm just kidding. I'll keep it reasonable. Again, thank everybody for the charter review meetings. We got a lot done in a short period of time. It was good feedback, good challenging on things, and back and forth. Again, appreciate you, Gary, for being there. Has Gary even caught a nice thing that we missed? So thank you, Gary. We would have been publishing at least the Planning Commission minutes if it wasn't for Gary. Nobody else's. But we got it. So, but again, you look at the stuff so many times, it kind of all runs together. You see it a million times. So, again, good to have that. And we had a range of people from their 20s up until their 90s. So it was a lot of fun discussion in there also on historical things. And Glenn said he won't be back for the next one, but he said that like 2 ago. So we'll see. To spend time, I met with Tom Bergman from Genoa the other day, village administrator up there, just because they're getting a data center in their area. So we're just riffing ideas, seeing what he's going through, all that kind of stuff. Just, again, as it's affecting communities and they're really pro for it, the way they're looking. Again, they don't have much industry like we do. So, again, it was just, again, good connection. It's another AMP community. So we're just sharing this information with each other. Again, good to meet him for the first time and just, again, share city ideas and stuff. But the topic was data centers. Nothing's coming at the moment. But just what is he doing? What are the regulations? What, you know, what kind of stuff are they doing and how are they approaching it? So that was just good discussion. Lots of phone calls, things, even while I was on vacation all over the place with the Evergreen. There's at least 3 interested buyers that are in some stage of bidding on this. One, for sure, that actually wanted to meet in person. Very happy with how that went. Again, they're well aware of all of our concerns, all the problems, all the EPA stuff, everything going on with it. Spent a nice phone call with Greenbridge on the phone. Again, went great. So keeping on that front as well. Hopefully there's light at the end of the tunnel. We are applying for the Opportunity Zone 2.0 through the Ohio Department of Development. We're waiting on one last support letter. We're in that census tract this year, and one of these investors was actually very knowledgeable on that tool that is interested in Evergreen. So good signs that good things could come, and they seem to at least be knowledgeable of how the state of Ohio economic development runs, expectations, things like that. So, and they actually addressed most of the issues with me before I even had a chance to bring them up. They were well aware and did their homework and actually went through the books. And again, fingers crossed that somebody's good coming in there, but at least looks like there's good things happening. Spent another few meetings and phone calls with some potential buyers of downtown buildings on their renovation plans, the commercial code expectations on things like that, getting their vision, how to figure out how to make things better for them on their investments, and, again, looking good for where the future is heading and things. I believe some of that is in contract, and hopefully next meeting or two there'll be at least good things to say on that front. Working with Billings on our easements and how we're going to clean up kind of the pole line that goes through their yard to get to the cemetery building over there. We're moving and just looking to clean up that area for them while we're actually there doing work and putting our sewer, most likely bringing a water line in and putting the electric service underground. That's going well. Again, hopefully it's still starting to break ground in the next few months. Oh, we had LJB Engineering, who's been a big part of the wastewater expansion. They're now at the water plant, just taking a look in the itemized list of things that we would do for an expansion, starting to put some, you know, cost estimates potentially on what those might look like. Again, that's been discussed before as we're building out new economic fronts and how to take advantage of all of our three water sources just correctly. And most of it, at least at this point, does not look like a expansion footprint, but more pumps on the inside and how would be the best path forward to go about getting that done. Again, lots of discussion. This will be multiple years of project and discussion. Today we went around with the Welcome Home Ohio, our developer. Took us around again. We got 602,006 houses, so we did look at all the sites that we're looking at and how best they're going to start drawing up site plan. Looks like September for a time frame to get started. Mr. McCulley was with us, and I'm sure he can share some notes from that as well. Hopefully went good, and as we looked at more land, obviously we get inspired for more ideas that aren't realistic at the moment maybe, but who knows where we'll end up in the future as we do all the crazy things I come up with. I want to thank everyone that helped put that July 4th event on. I don't know, hopefully everybody liked the dual fireworks show a little bit if you're at the park. Some people I know couldn't see it from where they were, depending on where you staged, but it looked great. Aaron, you liked it, right? See, that's what I mean. So got a lot of good feedback on that. It was kind of a surprise. Everybody was just going big, so we did two shows, like a concurrent show at the same time that seemed to be well-received, and I don't know, people couldn't even, they're like, is this us? What's happening over there? So I don't know. I thought it was enjoyable, and everybody down at the park where I was seemed to kind of like it. So we'll throw some more surprises in for next year. I'm still getting more complaints all the time on the Eves, scooter bikes, whatever things, bicycles, all that stuff. So we'll be coming up. I know we just had somebody hit another vehicle, I think, on Saturday morning. So as we said, I mean, I don't know how to regulate just kids without helmets going crazy on sidewalks and just blowing right onto the road. Working on some more applications. I know the Communities Foundation grant application is opening up here in July. And then we also have American Structure Point working, and this is for the Nature Trail just to get money for the bridge, get this project finished up, wrapped up after 30-odd years of it being a thing discussed. So looks like things are moving again. Structure Point is working on some actual true costs. We had a very high-level estimate on what it might take, and they're getting into the actual design of option B and then starting to work on what it's going to take for the permitting and all the stuff that goes down there since it is in the floodplain. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Good evening, everyone. First of all, I did want to let you know for the February-March billing that we sent Greenbridge, they reluctantly paid it. So, of course, Evergreen, mute point right now. But Greenbridge, we were very thankful to receive that. But with that, they do owe for their May bill. I'll be billing them for June and currently what they're using in July. So we're going to stay on top of that. I've had a discussion with Mr. LeBen of how we're going to handle that. It's hard to believe in 2 months we'll be starting for budget prep. I was just sitting here thinking about that, and I thought, wow, what a way to ruin my evening. But it is what it is. So, but other than that, I sent you out your report in regards to the audit, the reconciliation. Of course, with Alicia and payroll, working and calculating the sick time that we need for two individuals, taking them through to retirement. And in looking over at the overall budget, we're doing well. So I was very pleased when I reviewed that just for the mid-year. Other than that, that is all I have. And in case you were wondering, Greenbridge, what they owe for May is just under $189,000. So they're running just under $200,000 a month. So we will definitely keep an eye on that. So we get,
thank you.
Get results. Thank you.
Mrs. Meek, comments?
I have nothing.
Mr. Browning?
I have nothing.
Mr. McMaster?
I have nothing.
Mr. Shea?
I really did enjoy the 4th of July celebration. It was phenomenal. Everything from the music to the food trucks, and then, of course, the fireworks, the dual fireworks was awesome. Really appreciate all the persons that went put that together, including our city workers. I'm sure there's a big portion of our city workers that were involved in that, and oftentimes those individuals, those positions are behind the scenes, and they don't often get the recognition that they deserve. So I really appreciate all the employees that helped bring that along. I'm sure this office administration had a big part in it too, organizing it. It was just phenomenal, and of course 250 years is a big celebration. I'm hoping that we're not done celebrating it just yet, but that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shea. I'll echo the same comments that Mr. Shea made. Everybody experienced the excruciating heat last week, and our people are out there working and putting this thing together. So shout out to them. Fireworks were phenomenal. A lot of comments from people that are from outside our community that I know and don't know. So tomorrow is the CDA golf outing that Mr. Brown has put together. I will be out there discovering a lot of real estate as my ball goes left, right, and somewhere else. So it should be fun. Justin and I and Jared Young and a representative, is he from Praxia? Praxia Partners. That, if you haven't looked up Praxia Partners Sandusky, do that and look at the homes that Sandusky through Unibuilt have been putting in and lifting up neighborhoods. So we toured some of our empty lots today, and with the Welcome Home Ohio grant and how we're going to implement that in our community gets me energized. Okay, because we can lift up some neighborhood and in some areas with this. And the time frame is very realistic. I think we could possibly have some of these in by the end of the year, realistically. So it was a really good meeting. So other than that, that's the comments I have for this evening. So any motions? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
No, sir.
Mr. Shea?
No, sir.
And then I move that this meeting be adjourned.
Second.
And second by Mr. McMaster. Roll call.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Okay. We are now adjourned.